Welcome to Bitch Run, a horror movie podcast that reviews the good, the bad, and the bloody. I'm Larissa.
And I'm Tamara. This is episode 57.
And today, in celebration of Orphan First Kill coming out, we're going back to the glorious year of 2009 and reviewing the first movie, Orphan. What's this about? I wonder. That title takes, you know, it's so mysterious.
Yeah.
But alas, after losing their baby, a couple adopt a 9-year-old girl. However, they soon make a troubling discovery about her mysterious past and uncover several traits of her disturbing personality. Oh, a lot to unpack.
She is disturbing.
And that is one heck of a personality.
Mm-hmm.
So this one is starring Vera Farmiga. I'm going to go with that, as Kate the mum, and horror fans would know her as Lorraine from the Conjuring movies. She's brilliant.
Yeah.
Peter Sarsgaard as John the dad. He's kind of in a bunch of stuff, but nothing where it's like, oh, it's him. Like, even going through his IMDb, I was like, oh, that's a lot of movies, but I don't remember him from any of them. But he's also one of those people that you look at and you go, oh, that guy.
I've seen him before. Exactly. Yeah, which is totally what I did when I rewatched this. I was just like, oh, that fucking guy.
Yeah.
But I couldn't tell you where he was from.
Yeah. See?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we've got Isabel Fuhrman as Esther. And I swear that woman has not aged since she's done this movie.
Totally. She looks amazing.
Stunning.
Yes. I can't believe she was 10.
Crazy.
Filming this. It's nuts. It's like wild. Anyway, we'll get into that, I guess. Pretty wild. Was that all the people? Well, the ones we want to talk about. Great. Stunning. Before we get into the movie, should we chat snacks?
Sure thing.
What were you snacking on?
So I'm a big fan of the chocolate Rolo. Like, they're not really tubes, but you know, tubular things of Rolo.
The little discs.
Like the bar of them, basically.
Yeah.
But then you can also get them in the chocolate block, which is also delicious. And so then I found mini Rolos, which was like, you know, you can have a couple at a time, like really cute and tiny. My mistake was that I bought them from the $2 store. And you know how like $2 store chocolate just like has this funky ass taste? And it was
because it's been there for like 8 years.
It was awful.
Oh no. Because I was like, mini Rolos are amazing.
You would think so.
Yeah,
That's upsetting. Yep, and I would never trust.
Was it white?
It looked fine. It just tasted weird.
That's fucked.
So yeah, 10 out of 10 would not recommend. Won't be shopping at Dinner Store again for chocolate.
Especially because you'd be like, I know what a Rolo is. This is going to be like amazing.
Yeah, exactly. I had high hopes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just happened to be in a situation at a work thing where I was really, really hungry and there was a $2 store next door to where I was. So I was like, screw it, I'm just going to go in there and get some snacks. Yeah, not ideal.
Be upsetting for someone trying Rolo for the first time.
Oh, you'd never go back.
Like, if that's your first Rolo, you'd never go back. And you'd be missing out on, like, a tasty treat. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's upsetting. I'm so sorry for
you. Yes, but that's me. What about you?
This week, I went their Cadbury Twirl strawberry flavor.
They're bringing out Twirls in a number of different flavors, aren't they?
Bitch, they're bringing out everything. Everything's a fucking crossover. Mm. Literally. Every chocolate is a fucking collab or crossover now. I mean, sometimes it's fine. Sometimes I'm cool with it. Other times, I'm like, what the fuck? Why would you bother? yeah, exactly. Okay, so with the pink packaging, I was expecting pink chocolate on the inside, like, you know, dark chocolate on the outside, pink on the inside. No, it wasn't. It looks exactly the fucking same as a normal Twirl. So, like, nothing blowing my hair back there, which is disappointing. But she's super strawberry flavored, but not like actual strawberry, like the fruit. It's like, you know, that fake strawberry flavor.
Like Frodo Frog strawberry.
Exactly, bitch. That's what I said. Super similar to the strawberry Frodo, but no gooey center. So it was like all hard chocolate, so like Twirl-like, but no gooey center. Not bad, but I could only eat one stick of it. Like, it was fucking sweet. I was just like, just drank all the water after. It was so delicious, but I was like, fuck, I can't eat anymore.
Oh,
that's
interesting.
Yeah, but if you like strawberry Freddos, though, I think you'll be into these. They're pretty good, but it was just too, I don't know, too sweet.
See, I really like normal Twirls. Like, I look at the other ones and I was like, good. None of these are going to be better than a normal Twirl. It's not going to overrule. I can't.
Nah, you're right. It didn't overrule the OG 12, but the OG 12 is pretty fucking good.
Exactly.
It's like a flake, but without the annoying shit falling apart everywhere. Yeah, it's like that. Kind of, I guess. Whatever. Anyway, they're fine. They're pretty good. They're but, fine. I mean, they're fine. They're basic, but fine. Like, it's fine. That's fine. Well, yeah, that's it.
It's fine.
I don't have anything else to
it
say.
It was fine.
It was fine. I had an okay time. It was fine. Yeah. Cool. So before we get into the movie, have you seen this one before?
I have seen it once or twice before. Like, ooh. I knew I'd watched it, okay. But I couldn't remember when or how long ago or anything.
Yeah, same. Yeah. I had the same thing. I was just like, I know I've seen it and I know what happens, but I couldn't remember all the details. Mm. It was not like it's not like on a, you know, loop at my house.
Yes.
I've seen it like once.
Not
in
constant rotation.
No, absolutely not. No. Okay, cool. We don't do spoiler alerts anymore, do we?
No, everyone.
Great. Okay, amazing.
I think after, 56 episodes, we've got the gist.
If not, that's on you. So are you ready to talk about peer pressure and failures in the adoption system?
Yes! I'm like, where does the peer pressure come into this movie?
The peer pressure with Max. Esther and Max, babe.
Yeah, what? I didn't take any of this away from the movie being
as
like...
As peer pressure?
Oh.
Really? It's because she's like wanted her sister there so much that she did these things. Let's talk about it later. Okay, let's talk
We're
about
off
it.
A great start. We've definitely got some views in this movie.
We absolutely do. I mean, would it be
would it
if
be
we
a
didn't
bit
have completely
if
different...
Like
if we didn't
a different understanding.
Disagree. And take different things out of it?
All right,
that'd be
go
weird
on,
if
go
we
on,
did.
Hit me.
Okay, so we open with our credits flashing black and showing us glimpses of splattered neon paint, which I love, like under the black light kind of thing. Very goosebumps, very fun. With a blurry introduction, we meet the two parents of our film, Kate and John, as they're entering a hospital as Kate is about to give birth to their third child. As John's filling out admission paperwork, Kate is being wheeled away to prepare for labor. Unfortunately, Kate starts bleeding all over the fucking floor and we cut to her on the hospital bed, people all around her covered in blood, telling her that they're sorry for her loss and that her baby has died. But Kate says that she can still feel the baby moving inside her and starts freaking the fuck out, which is like totally fair enough. Like, this is pretty traumatic.
That looks awful.
Yeah. It's I don't enjoy the scene at all. So as the doctors start performing an abortion on her right while she's awake, it's horrific outside of a horror movie, but here it's a fucking nightmare. Her husband is filming the whole thing on his dad cam, and her scream is the most amazing horror scream that I've heard in quite a while. Like, it's
she's a great actress.
Oh my god, I love her so much. Yeah, she's so good. Mm. But it's like guttural and high-pitched all at the same time. Like, it's perfection. It's very good. So the nurse then hands Kate a baby covered in blood and congratulating her on the birth. Kate screams again and we cut to her waking up. 'Twas all but a dream. All but a horrific nightmare. Kind of. So Kate and John did actually lose their third child as she was stillborn, which is super sad, but thankfully not the horrific scene that we just saw. Which is fucking upsetting to start a movie. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. So we started with a bang.
Exactly. So Kate wakes up in the middle of the night from this dreadful dream, heads to the bathroom, gently touches the large scar on her tummy, opens the annoyingly loud bathroom mirror.
I was like, oh, fuck. This is an awful mirror setup.
Yeah, such a tiny mirror for such a huge house.
Yes, and it's broken into like two places.
Small, babe?
And, awful.
Yeah. I just felt it was like the proportions were way off. Who the fuck designed this bathroom? Had no idea. Mm. Also, they were super tall. This poor bitch, she could barely see herself in the mirror. How's she gonna do her makeup in that? The lighting terrible. Anyway, whatever. So she takes a pill. This is not a interior decorating class. So she pops a pill. She sits on the bathroom floor and we cut to Kate in therapy discussing her nightmare. It must be the next day. Who knows? We don't really know how many days this thing goes for, but whatever. She tells the psych that they're meeting kids for potential adoption today, and this might be where the dream's coming from. Kate also confesses that she drove past a wine shop last night but didn't go in. So we also find out that Kate is a recovering alcoholic as well as dealing with the loss of her baby. It's quite a lot, and we're like 5 minutes in. Mm-hmm. We're like, okay. Mm-hmm.
And at this point, I'm like, great, what's going on?
I know, like a lot, so much. So we're not at a school for, we're now, we're not, fuck me. There's going to be typos all the way through this. It's been a long
week, but we are now.
So we're now at a school for hearing impaired kids where their youngest daughter, Max, goes to school. She's the cutest little nugget. Yeah. I actually love her. She's so fucking cute. And she's painted a butterfly for her mum, because of course she has, because she's the cute little baby angel. As Kate is driving them home, she gets distracted watching a pregnant woman cross the street, hears a car honk their horn and runs a red light, almost getting her and her daughter crushed by a giant black truck. So she brakes just in time. You know when you're sitting at the lights and someone beeps you and you go, fuck, is that me? Yeah. And then you've got to go. Yeah, so she thinks she does that and then nearly kills her and her baby. Later that night, as Kate is putting Max to bed, Max takes her hearing aids out, pops them next to the bed, as she does every night, and asks her mum to read the story of her sister, baby Jessica, going to heaven. It's pretty fucking heartbreaking, to be honest, and I just wanted to get to the horror already.
Oh, yeah. Like, you can see the pain in the mum's face, being like, I really don't want to read this again. Obviously, it was a great idea at the time to get a book that's going to get the message through to the younger kid about what happened to her baby sister. But now this kid is like, please, mum, relive the horror of your stillborn baby.
Yeah, because it's kind of like helping her. People deal differently. Oh. And this little one, she's just very cute and she loves a story about her sister going to heaven. Mm. Like, in theory, very cute idea.
Very pure.
Yeah.
But the mum has reality, every night.
Horrific nightmares. Every night. So, yeah, it's a bit sad. I'm just like, can we just get to the fucked up, like, horror of it all? Not the, like, sadness the real life of humanity. Horror. Thank you, yeah. But nope, we cut to Kate and a hairy-chested John in the bathroom as she takes another pill and they discuss the impending adoption. Next day, we're at the orphanage open day where all these kids are on display. It's fucking weird, but I guess I kind of get it, but it's weird. It's, like, weird. Anyway,
yeah, as Kate is talking to them. How else are you going to pick a kid if they're not...
I don't know. I just find it so weird. Like, it's just, I think I don't know. I just feel bad for these little babies that are just, like, have to be, like, polite and nice and on display so someone will take them home, and it just crushes me. Anyway, as Kate is talking to the nice lady, Sister Abigail, that runs the orphanage, and John leaves the bathroom, he hears a singing voice, and instead of going back to the designated area for children and parents, potential parents, he just fucking wanders around the orphanage and goes upstairs, finds a beautiful girl singing and painting. Her name is Esther. So, Esther is played by Isabel Furman, which you said before, and I need to keep reminding myself that this kid is 10. So when she's filming this, she's fucking 10, like, which is mind-blowing. She's so fucking good.
That's insane.
It's nuts, hey, like, later on, I'm just like, would believe that she is not 10. It's wild. Anyway, back to the story. Esther's paintings are pretty cool and a bit weird. She has a pretty relatable story about the lioness that she's painting, so it really connects with John and Kate. Because of this coinkydink and her speech on how she's different and doesn't get talked to at these open days because she's so different, the loving Kate and John decide to adopt Esther into their family. I'm like, cute. Very cute.
I was like, you don't want to look around at any other kids first? You just
don't have a browse?
Pick the first one that you find? No?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, not happy browsing. Just good. Well, they have formed a connection.
For two seconds. I'm sure if you talk to any of the kids for 2 seconds, then you'd have a connection.
I reckon they saw her art and were like, we can make some money off this bitch. Let's take her. We'll take this one. She could be amazing and famous and we could make money. That's really weird and gross to say, but whatever. Anyway, okay, so I say that it's weird that you can just take a kid home without them meeting the other kids or even seeing their house beforehand. I'm like, I don't understand how it works, because they were like driving her home and she's like, hasn't met the other kids, hasn't seen the house, doesn't know what the fuck is happening, and they're just like, you live with us now.
I suppose she goes and hates it. Happy to be in a house,
be there. Yeah, I know, but I'm just like, what if they hate it? Like, and did the sister see the house? Like, Sister Abigail, bitch, did you guys see the house?
It sounded like she crazy? Did, because it sounded like they'd had previous conversations and, like, had gone through a process to get to this spot.
Yeah. Okay, I would hope so, because I was just like, man, it could have been a completely
different
movie.
There's no 30 days returns with these.
No, they're little babies. Anyway, it's not why we're here. So Kate and John arrive home with Esther and are greeted by a very excited Max. She's super excited to have a sister. It's very cute. Danny, the older brother, not super keen.
Not into
it. I mean, it would be... No, he's not into it. It would be weird, I guess. Like, he's about the same age as her, I would think.
Yeah.
So he makes comments on how she dresses, etc., which is pretty shitty, but get it, it's pretty fair.
I mean, he's not wrong.
I mean, he's not. She dresses weird.
She dresses like a Victorian doll, like, from...
I know, which...
like, creepy little dolls.
She does. Yeah, very, like, it's giving me pilgrim, yes, kind of pioneer woman. Like, it's giving, yeah. But yeah, so she wears ribbons on her wrist and neck at all times. Old timey dresses, ribbon in her hair, or like a headband at all times. Mm-hmm. Oh, that cliche, like, I'm a child stuff.
Yes.
Like, I have a bow in my hair, that kind of shit. John also ignores Danny getting a high score on Guitar Hero, which is a huge deal, to actually shower Esther with gifts. So further, like, driving the divide between Danny and Esther. So Danny takes his mates to his treehouse to look at pornos that he has hidden under the floorboards in this treehouse, while Esther and Max play by the snow-covered lake, pond, whatever. It's quite big. It's a body of water. It's near the house.
Yes.
That exists. So later that night, as a storm surrounds the house, because, you know, what would a horror movie be without a storm?
Ah, that's the best be a horror movie.
Exactly. So Kate and John get a little frisky while Esther wakes up her new little sister. They knock on the parents' door and Esther says that they're both scared of the lightning and want to sleep in their bed. But Max was asleep. She wasn't scared of the lightning. Mm-hmm. So, lies. So many lies. Esther in particular wants to sleep next to Daddy, but he's just getting amongst it with his wife, so needs a second. I don't enjoy this at all. Like, it's pretty gross, but here we are.
There are some parts of this movie that make me so uncomfortable, and this was one of them.
Right? Thank you so much, because I was just like, Larissa's either going to be like, bitch, like, stop reading into it. But I was just like, this is weird. Like, they were just getting amongst it, and then these kids are like, let's get into bed together. And they're like, I'll give Daddy a second. I'm like, stop saying Daddy like that when you have just been in the Daddy
area. Well, no, 2009 was not, you know, the Daddy phase.
Was it not Daddy then?
Hadn't
okay.
begun.
I don't know. I feel like there was always a Daddy phase, but yeah. Anyway, it's weird, right?
It's not one of those things that I'm like, okay, this is a really weird situation. Like, I'm like, this probably happens to people all the time with kids.
Yeah.
Because kids get scared about things and they run into your room. But
yeah,
it just still makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, maybe because we don't have kids, so maybe we just don't get it. It's weird. Anyway, so the next morning, as the kids are getting ready for school, Max and Danny are waiting for Esther. She descends the staircase and is wearing her signature white wool tights, old-timey dress, and ribbons around her wrists and throat. So, she's about to start a new school. Probably not great. So, Kate tries to convince her to change. Like, maybe with those jeans I bought you.
I loved Kate doing this.
I know.
I was like, you made the right call trying to convince her to be
hey, maybe, like, don't get picked on your first day. Yeah. And then Kate has her words used against her. Esther says, I thought you said there was nothing wrong with being different. I was like, oh, boom. Like, she got you there, Kate. She got you. So she's going to school in her pioneer woman garb. Esther enters her first class, and the stereotypical mean girl is, of course, mean. That's why there's stereotypes. Mm-hmm. Esther stares at her with the force of 1,000 eyes as she takes her seat in class. Like, she's fucking livid. Like, she's mad about it. But I kind of like it. It's pretty funny.
Oh, I'm like, bitch, what do you think is going to happen?
Oh, she's so mad. She got a lot of rage issues. I get it. But also, wow. So, cut to after school and back home. Max and Esther are playing on the frozen lake pond body of water. And Kate freaks the fuck out. So, something's clearly happened near the water, but we're not really sure exactly what's happened just yet. Danny's shooting targets with his paintball gun because apparently you just let your kid play with guns in the woods. A pigeon lands on the
like
target.
A paintball gun, like...
It's still a paintball gun. Those things fucking hurt.
Yeah, because he's just, you know, usually shooting at targets and stuff like that.
Yeah, but he shoots a pigeon, this little fuck. He shoots a pigeon, which I'm not on board with. You know this.
He immediately regrets it.
Good. He should, because he killed a pigeon because he's being a little bitch, like, and decided to kill a little animal for no reason. No. Anyway, shoots a pigeon, not killing the pigeon, which is way worse, so just like, but it won't survive. So there's like, it's horrific. Anyway, he does realize that he's fucked up and starts crying and stuff. But I'm like, good. Feel those feelings and never do it again.
Learn to listen.
Oh, shit. He should. But also read a book and read, like, learn a lesson that way. You don't need to, like, kill an animal to learn the lesson. Anyway. So, Esther and Max enter the scene, and Esther tells Danny that he needs to put it out of its misery in her, like, pretty intense Russian accent. Yeah. Like, it seems a little, like, put on at times. But anyway.
definitely fluctuates.
Right? It just goes, yeah, it's not great. But yeah, needs to put it out of his misery, but Danny doesn't want to kill the pigeon. He didn't think that he would hit it, like, you know, whatever. As he cries, Esther grabs a pretty large rock and squashes the pigeon dead, squirting blood everywhere. Real sad. I hate this scene. I hate it.
Yeah, but it really sets up, though, how intense she is. Yeah. Like, and this is your sort of your first glimpse at, huh.
That's fucked up.
This chick is mentally unstable.
Yeah, she's supposed to be a 9-year-old girl, and she's just like, put it out of its misery, and then smushes it with a rock. Yeah, it's pretty fucked up. I do not. No! I'm like, this bitch is crazy. She is crazy. So later that night, as Esther gets ready for a bath, Kate closes the door behind her and hears Esther locking it as she leaves. As they have no locked doors policy in this house, we never had that at my house. It was just like, it was kind of a free-for-all.
Like a 9-year-old in a bath for sort of the first time.
Oh, yeah, what if she drowns? Yeah. Fuck it. No, I get it. But it's like that, she was very stern. Kate was very stern. There's a no locked doors policy in this house. And I was like, wait till they get to teenage and they're going to lock the door all the time.
I doubt they're going to drown in the bath at that point.
Well, you would hope. But at 9, would they drown in the bath?
Well, I suppose like, you know, it's her first sort of.
First night.
Yeah, like she's only been there not long and.
Like a minute. Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
You never know.
But it makes like you can put 3 centimeters of water in that bath, and that is all. So she locks the door, but makes Kate uncomfortable. Esther assures Kate that she will be okay and will sing to let her know that she's okay, as she did at the orphanage. Which is
weird. So creepy. Kate,
yeah, I know. I feel like it's creepier. Just let her lock the fucking door. Like, it's fine. So Kate agrees and uses the opportunity to snoop through Esther's belongings. She finds a Bible with a photo of a man slotted between the pages. And so the man's been torn off another photo, which is weird, but not weird enough for Kate to think anything about it. She just pops the back of the Bible, pops it in the thing. But Esther has seen her snooping, so, like, it's not great. Mm. Like, it's a bit creepy. The door's open, nothing's said, nothing's done.
Yeah.
Cut to the next day at school as Danny knocks Esther's books out of her hands, including her Bible, which is a pretty shitty thing to do, but he's trying to be like, see, I don't care about it in front of his mates. Like, yeah, it's a real douchey dude thing to do. Yeah. The mean girl from class picks it up. I also hate her.
Oh, awful.
She's the worst. She calls Esther a Jesus freak. They wrestle over the Bible, and it gets thrown into the air and falls apart. So pages are falling dramatically all around.
Very
it's
dramatic.
All very,
I did love this.
Isn't it? Yeah, it was kind of, it did remind me a bit like American Beauty plastic bag floating through the air, that kind of thing, yeah. But anyway, it was like more pages, like more bags. as Esther scrambles to pick up the pages, the mean girl tries to take Esther's collar off her neck, causing Esther to scream her fucking head off. Like, she goes ballistic.
Oh, like, the worst.
It was
and everyone
wild.
Just stops and stares, and it's so long that she's screaming.
Oh my god! And you're just like high pitch and super long.
Okay, we get it. This is really awkward now.
I don't. Do we even hear her stop screaming in the movie, or does it just cut to the next scene? I can't remember. It goes on for that long. Mm. Yeah, it goes on for a long time. So now back at home, and Kate is teaching Esther to play piano and show her a scrapbook that she's made for her containing photos of the fam. Very cute, like, here's your mom and dad, here's my mom, whatever. You get it. It's family photos. So Esther then asks who Jessica is because Max has been talking about her a lot. So Kate explains what happened to baby Jessica and shows Esther the white roses that they planted in her memory. A single tear rolls down Esther's cheek as she tells Kate that Jessica would have been a very lucky girl to have her as a mom. Mm-hmm. Which is a bit cute because Kate's been struggling a bit, so she's just like, I really need to hear that, and that's all very nice.
And you think, oh, bonding.
I know, you're like, oh, a bit cute. But that single tear, I don't know what it is about a single tear. I'm just like, I call bullshit on it every time.
Only time I ever get a single tear is when I look into the sun accidentally and my just one eye starts watering, or when I'm getting my eyelash extensions. Sometimes then
I
might get like a single tear.
I mean, that
it's
makes
never
sense,
in a dramatic like... situation like this.
Also, how do you accidentally look at the sun? You know it's upright. Like, I don't
know. Yeah, but you know sometimes it's, like, sunnier outside than you expect, and then you're just like,
oh. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm essentially a hermit.
But thank you. I am aware that the sun is in the sky.
Oh, my God. You accidentally look in the sun. Oh, God. That sun came out of nowhere.
In the middle of the day? Why? I never.
What? Anyway, but yeah, the single tear, it's weird. But getting eyelash extensions, that makes sense, yeah. So, cut to later in the night where the sun is gone, and John and Kate are in the kitchen. They're putting away dishes 1 minute and he has her bent over the kitchen bench the next. As they're mid-coitus, they see Esther watching them through the window. There's so much glass through this house.
Much. I'm sorry, you have three children in the house, all of which are old enough to know what you're doing.
What the fuck you're doing? You think, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll we should go at it in the kitchen.
Especially this new chick has been here for like 3 nights.
A minute.
I'm sure I'm sure she's in her room. Like,
yeah.
Girl, you don't know her routine. Who's already wandered into you.
And she's already wandered into your bedroom once. Yeah, no, not into
Why don't
into
you
it.
Go
no,
get a lock on your bedroom door?
Maybe you should have fucking locks in your in your house.
Then you'll be okay.
Yeah, I didn't really get it. And also, I don't know, they've been married for how long? Like, we've got how many kids? And they can't control themselves to go to another room. They're like, no, I must take you here.
Okay, it kind of felt like he's trying to, like, spice it up and, like, get his love life back again. Because, like, after going through the pregnancy and then the stillborn and everything, it'd be hard to get back into that.
Yeah, which I think is what was happening. But she said, like, she was like, no, like, a few times. And he was just like, yeah, kitchen.
Yeah, but it wasn't right, like a, no, I don't want
to. No, but it was like, no, we should go whatever and do this. And he was like, no. And then anyway, they get busted by the kids.
Should not have been risque. Can't be risque with like 10-year-old kids.
Just fucking get a babysitter, motherfuckers. Like, I just.
Or just go into your own room and lock the door.
It's like a meter away. Like, your house isn't that big. Like, just anyway, whatever. So they're fucking in the kitchen. A kid sees them because that's what happens. But Essa looks actually kind of mad. So not mortified. She looks pissed as she walks away and John pulls his pants up. And he's pissed as well because he was trying to get some and then it got
halfway
interrupted.
Through it.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, no.
Big mood killer.
I mean, I would hope so. The alternative is fucked. Yes. So the next morning, Kate enters Esther's room to explain what she saw last night. Esther seems still pretty pissed off and continues to paint until she stops Kate mid-sentence and says, I know, they fuck. And I'm like, wow.
Very abrupt.
So she's trying to explain, like, two people love each other.
Mommy and Daddy love each other very much.
Exactly. But no, apparently they just fuck. And I'm like, okay, cool. So this 9-year-old child knows stuff. Mm-hmm. So
she's lived life in Russia.
She has, it's fucked. Yeah. But she also has a foul mouth and she acts a lot differently in front of Kate than she does in front of John.
Yeah, you're starting to see the differences between her relationship between the two of them.
Yeah, exactly. And starting to see little bits like, what the fuck is, like, that is not a normal 9-year-old's response to that. That's weird, yeah. So later that day, as Kate is telling John what happened, she suggests is really hard to say. Anyway, that they take Esther to the shrink, but John isn't keen on the idea. He thinks that she just needs some time to settle, which is, I mean, fair. But he's also downplaying, like, her...
Yeah, because he hasn't witnessed any of this behaviour.
No. So he thinks she's been crazy.
It's been a bit dramatic.
It's been crazy. Women. So dramatic. So we're now in the park as John is pushing Max on the swings and Esther is watching John's interaction with a random woman in the park. They know each other, obviously. It's just random to us. We don't know her name or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But they clearly know each other. So she wants John to help her move a chair upstairs. Air quotes, whatever. So apparently this is totally code and I clearly don't get out because I didn't know that this is like moving a chair upstairs was code for them. Like,
you didn't get it from her being like,
oh, no, I got it.
Oh,
John.
Just are you free to come over to my house and move a chair upstairs?
Move her chair.
I just really need your help. But I loved his response.
Yeah, he was just like, yeah, Kate and I can come over and help whatever. All that Kate and I know. And I was just like, burn, bitch.
Shut down.
Yeah, so he was clearly not into it. I think he appreciates the attention. Mm-hmm. I mean, whatever, that's going to happen. That's nice to... someone to think you're hard or whatever, but he's also like not taking her up on that offer. Like, he was just like, yeah, Kate and I can come and help you, but I was just like, this bitch, can you come help me move a like, she just was like, chair, like, I couldn't think of a furniture item to shift, but also a chair, bitch, pick it up, like, it's fine. Anyway, whatevs. So totally code, but this is how they're making out in the scene, whatever. Meanwhile, Esther spotted the mean girl and is following her around the playground, a game of cat and mouse that ends with Esther pushing the mean girl off the top of a fucking slide, causing her serious injury. So I think she breaks an ankle and some other shit, but she could have fully died.
Yeah,
it's pretty,
pretty bad.
It's pretty rough. So safe to say she's a creepy little girl with murder in her eyes, or at least severe maiming. Mm-hmm. Like, it's pretty fucked up. But Max saw Esther do this and says nothing when asked about it at dinner later that night, which is a bit weird. Peer pressure. This is where I'm at.
Ah, gotcha. See, I didn't view this as peer pressure. I viewed it as, like, she's messing with her mind more so.
No, because she wanted her sister so bad, and she, like, you know, it's like the peer pressure of school. Those kids want to be, like, the popular kids so bad that they'll do all the dumb shit. So it's the same sort of, essentially the same thing.
I mean, but I get it, but yeah, I think I viewed it more as, like, instead of her pressuring into saying no, it's, like...
Like, take a like, smoke a cigarette, like that, not that kind of peer pressure.
Yeah.
Is that what you meant? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I feel like you the peer pressure.
Yeah, I view... You feel like what?
I feel like we leave the peer pressure conversation because the way that I viewed it and the way that you view it, I think are very different. Yeah. But I just feel bad for this little nugget because she was so excited to have a sister, and then her sister's a fucking crazy bitch.
She's just
so
the
I just
devil.
Feel bad for her. Yeah,
it's a bad pick of the bunch.
She's
they
a
should have shopped around at the orphanage.
They should have browsed, but they didn't. No. So yeah, so Max says nothing at dinner when she was asked if she saw anything, whatever. Daddy's also being a little dickhead, says the R word and storms off. So Daddy John locks up the treehouse with his precious pawn until Danny says sorry. But I have a feeling Danny's never saying sorry, so I think his, like, penthouse or Playboy or whatever were pretty safe
yeah,
up there.
Yeah, he was just sick of being, like, that extra kid that's in the house now. No one's paying him any attention. No one really cares. No one's believing him about anything that he's saying. And he's getting emotionally damaged,
I mean, welcome
and scarred
to, like,
from his
most
sister.
Other people's lives. Yeah. Like, welcome, motherfucker. Yeah, anyway. But this kid is mad about it, which is... And also, he shouldn't say the shitty stuff that he said. Like, this chick sucks, and we know that, but they don't know that yet. Mm. So you can't say, like, nasty things like that. So Kate has taken the girls grocery shopping when she gets a call from Sister Abigail, the woman running the orphanage. When Kate asks Esther to say hello on the phone, though, Esther gets super fucking mad about it. Like, she's like, no. Like, and I'm like, that's weird. So Kate sends her off to get some apples while she talks to the sister in private. Or so she thinks. Esther asks Max to read her mum's lips and tell her what Kate is saying. So they're talking about Esther's aversion to the dentist, which is weird. But also, I get it. Most kids don't like the dentist, but they seem to focus on this.
I love going to the dentist, just FYI.
Oh, are you very well behaved and always floss? Is that why?
I mean, no, but I am always told that my teeth are very clean.
Oh, amazing. Most people, if you're not perfection, they do not enjoy the dentist. Especially a kid. It's not a fun place.
Oh, yeah. And, like, I have braces and everything, so that wasn't super fun.
Oh, fuck.
But I still like,
brutal.
You know, choosing those new colours on the bands.
Oh, see, that would be fun, yeah. 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 I never had braces or anything, so I didn't get that. But I always wanted them because I wanted the cute coloured bands. Be cute though. Same as I wanted glasses up until the point I had to have glasses. Now I'm like, fuck. Now I have to wear glasses every day. Okay, cool. Aversion to the dentist and the incident at the park with the mean girl. And I'm like, oh, that's not great. So later at home, Kate is putting groceries away when she hears Esther absolutely shredding it on the piano. When Kate asks why she lied about not being able to play, Esther said that she thought that Kate would like to teach her as it must be frustrating to have a son who isn't interested and a daughter who can't even hear. Then she just fucking struts off.
Like,
such a mean thing
it
to
was
say.
Like,
and then she's just
up.
Like, meh, meh, meh. Yeah, such a bitch. Oh. I was just like, that's nasty.
Honestly, that's mean. I mean, she's not wrong, but.
No.
But, yeah.
But it's
awful,
mean.
Bad delivery. Poor delivery.
Yeah. Awful thing to say.
Like, she could have just
so,
been
yeah.
like, and I just, you know, I thought you'd enjoy being able to teach someone.
You seemed excited to
yes.
want to teach me the piano.
Yes.
That's cute.
Want to
that's
ruin
dumb.
Your dreams by being like, "Hey, mom, I'm better than you."
And then she's like, "Fucking try, like, just shredding."
Also, this
on
chick,
the piano.
Very good, like piano. She knows sign language. Like, she. Can
oh yeah, she's smart.
Quick.
Yeah. Yes. Well, the sister was saying how smart she is. She's very intelligent and whatever. And same with the. Shrink later or whatever. So as Kate is telling John about this interaction, he's very protective of Esther. Until Kate asks John about the woman in the park and their flirting, which turns into an argument about her getting jealous of every woman he speaks to, as he cheated on her like 10 years ago, but she only found out 2 years ago. I'm like, come on, man, you know she's going to be pissed about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, fair, 100%. I'd hold that against someone forever.
This is fair reaction. Like, you can be pissed and be like, why didn't you tell me about that?
I'd be like, I'm sorry, you're never going back to the park unsupervised. You ain't moving any more chairs.
I mean, like, shit happens and they decided to stay together. So, oh, hey, snacks. I'm like, shit. Yes. But they said, like, decided to stay together and stuff. But I'm like, you can't be like, oh, yeah, flirting in the park, but I just didn't tell you. Of course, she's going to be like, wait, keep it in your pants. As we know, he can't even keep it in his pants in the kitchen. So, like, whatever. So Esther is loving listening to them fighting as she paints in her room. It's very, like,
very therapeutic.
She's just like smirking to herself. Yeah, she's like, I love the sounds of fighting in the evenings. So cut to the next day and the doorbell rings. Esther answers the door to Sister Abigail and she's not stoked.
Not happy.
Like, she's not happy. Not happy. The kids have left the room now as the sister confesses that she may have messed up the adoption and there might be something wrong with Esther, as trouble has a way of finding her. Yeah, no shit, yes, we know. So a boy fell with a pair of scissors, stabbing himself in the jaw, happened around Esther.
Inconvenient.
And there was a... Yeah, that's coinky dink. And there's also a house fire that was arson and she was a sole survivor and they never found the person who sets the house on fire.
That's awkward.
Mm-hmm. Also, another coinky dink. But how old was this kid when this happened? Anyway. So Esther has heard all of this and enlists Max's help to help, like, to get rid of the mean lady, as the mean lady is going to take her away. Mm-hmm. And Max is really sad about this because it's still her sister. Yeah. And she's all very cute. So... Esther packs a bag of things, including a hammer. Max finds the treehouse keys, and Esther discovers a key to the safe on the same set of keys. She opens it up, takes out a fucking gun, because it's that easy to...
I mean, if you're gonna lock it up, maybe put the keys somewhere that the kids can't get at them.
Don't put them on the outdoor key. Like, just here's the set of keys for the back door, the gun safe, the treehouse. Oh, but
I got my phone, wallet, keys, gun key,
bullets with the gun inside, just not in a case, just like, here's a gun with bullets. Anyway, whatever, you've got kids in the house, motherfucker, like, get it together. Anyway, that shit just blows my mind, but it wouldn't be a horror movie without an easily accessible gun, would it?
Murder weapons just lying around.
Just laying around. Here's this shiny hammer just in my office. What the fuck, man? Anyway, are they in an office or
a workshop?
Garage. Was it? Yeah, it's a very clean workshop. It's like beautiful. It's like a nice looking workshop. Anyway, I guess a greenhouse is stunning too. Okay, whatever. They've just got a really nice house. So she finds this gun. She takes all the bullets out but one and holds the gun to Max's face, asking if she wants to play. And the poor little nugget, like little teary-eyed little Max, she's just too innocent. She's so cute. So it makes me really sad. And she just was like, no, like, she doesn't want to play. Anyway, so Esther hears the adults move. She says maybe later, and then she and Max head out into the snow. They arrive at the bridge near the house before the sister with the plan to scare her off. Esther asks Max to wave her hands in front of the sister to make her stop, but instead Esther pushes Max into the path of the oncoming car, causing the sister to swerve and crash a car. As the sister runs to help Max, Esther swings the hammer into Sister Abigail's head, which is pretty fucked up.
That's very hardcore.
I didn't expect it. I saw the hammer. I saw what was going to happen, but I was like, oh, okay. We're showing.
Yeah.
Cool.
Loved it.
Great. I mean, that's what we're here for, really, yes, isn't it? So, thinking she's dead, Esther tells Max to stop crying and to grab her foot. They pull her off the road just before another car drives by. The sister isn't actually dead, though, so she tries to crawl away in the snow, but Esther sees this and finishes the job with the hammer,
hitting her
repeatedly in the head until she dies. She, like, quadruple taps. She taps quite a lot. Like, she's forever tapping. Yeah. It's pretty fucking horrific. So enlisting Max's help once again, they hide her body. Not very well, but they try.
Very poorly.
So Esther's...
She can kill, but she can't hide her cover body. It.
I mean, she's a tiny girl. But like, you're like, oh, snow will cover it. Like, snow will protect us.
Never melt away.
Not till the spring, bitch. No, exactly. So they hide her body. Esther's bloody clothes and the murder weapon, they stash in the secret pawn area of the treehouse. Esther tells Max that they will both go to jail if she tells anyone, scaring Max into, like, being quiet, whatever. You know what I mean? As the girls are descending the treehouse ladder, Danny spots the pair and hides behind a rock, watching them. Later that night, Danny wakes with a box cutter, I think, or a knife or some shit to his throat. Yeah, it's sharp, whatever it is. It's to his throat also. So
no, it's not where you want it.
It's not. And especially when you're asleep. No, you might have waking up for that. No, thank
also,
you.
Like, just one. You just
sit up. Yeah, exactly. Fuck. So he, like, middle of the night, box cutter to his throat. Esther's asking what the hell he saw and if he told anyone else. She threatens to cut his dick off if he tells anyone. He pees himself. She leaves. So,
fair
cut
response
to the shrink's office. I mean, he's like 10 or whatever. fuck, that's scary. Cut to the shrink's office as Esther exits her office and Kate and John enter. So she's had her little session with the shrink. Now it's the parents' turn. The shrink tells Kate that, yeah, debrief, little catch up. Let's see how crazy this bitch is. So the shrink tells Kate that she's blocking her, that Kate is blocking the attempts to bond and that maybe her inadequacies as a mother are blocking the relationship. And I'm like, wow.
This kid really did a number on that shrink.
Yeah. And this shrink pisses me off pretty much the whole fucking movie. Awful. So while the shrink is explaining how bright and articulate Esther is, Esther is actually losing her fucking mind in the bathrooms and going bananas. Like just throwing herself against the wall. Like in those cubicles, she's just throwing herself against it, kicking the shit out of her. I don't know how nobody notices, but they don't. And then the family head home. So
it's fine. Just a little rage cage session.
I mean, that's totally what it was. It was a total rage cage session. But she was going ballistic. Mm. I was just like, wow. So that's a lot of rage in a tiny little human. So we're back home, and there's clearly more tension between Kate and John as Kate's phone begins to ring. It's another sister from the orphanage looking for Sister Abigail. I'm like, ruh-roh, she has not made it back. Next minute, there are flashing lights from cop cars as they've discovered Sister Abigail's body. The cops ask Kate and John a few questions before heading off. As Kate looks toward the staircase, like clearly looking for Esther because she's not about her, we see Esther turning a black light on and off in her room. So when it's off, her paintings look sweet and normal, if not a little advanced for her age, but that's fine. When the light is on, however, her painting of a house turns into a house of horrors. I love it.
It was great.
So it's like, much like it was a lot of horrific scenes in one house. It was pretty good. Yeah. It was good. Also very goosebumps, still very into it. Give me the neon black light. Amazing. Love it. So while this is happening, Kate is Googling personality disorders and thinks she's figured out what the fuck is happening, but of course wants to know more. Like who the fuck this girl is and what happened in
who's
her
this
past
random chick that we
to make
up?
Her crazy. Who's this dumb dog that is causing complete chaos in our house? So John thinks that Kate's being pretty crazy and paranoid, but reluctantly agrees to letting her investigate. Kate quickly finds out that there's no record of Esther being in the places that she said she's been. So
she looked at that beforehand.
On that alone, you have two babies already in the house. Wouldn't you be like, oh, okay, so maybe we need to separate this one.
Yeah, just while the investigation happens.
Just while you're checking some things out. But they're like, no, it's cool. So John goes into Esther's room to wake her up for the dentist, but she convinces him not to go, and they draw and paint together instead.
Bonding.
Kate is dropping the kids at school and asks the kids about Esther. They both say, no, she's not hurting them. Everything's cool. Hasn't threatened them, blah, blah, blah. But the kids are not very convincing at all. No. Poor little Max in the back. She just looks like she's always crying. Yeah. It just makes me so sad. But yeah, and even Danny looks pretty shook. Yeah. Well, he just had a knife to his throat, so I get it. Yeah. Meanwhile, John suggests that Esther do something nice for Mummy to show her how much she loves her. As Kate is cleaning the kitchen, Esther comes back into the kitchen with her hands behind her back and a big old smile on her face. She has cut all of the white roses from the rose bush that they planted for baby Jessica, which is really upsetting.
It's horrific. So, it's such a dog
it's
act.
It's fucked. So she's totally destroyed the rose bush, in turn destroying Kate. Kate fucking loses it because it's like the only connection she has to her baby. It's very fucking
sad. And she
sad.
Made it very clear.
Very clear. This was not, and there's even a fucking sign. Yes. So even if she forgot the story, there's a fucking sign. But no, this kid sucks. So has torn the rose bush apart and been like, meh, I got this for you, Mommy. Anyway, Kate loses it, starts grabbing her, starts yelling for John, blah, blah, blah. John comes over. Esther runs to her room screaming and crying. So it's not enough.
Didn't grab her very hard. Like same way you'd grab a child if they were trying to run away from you and you were like, oh.
I mean,
just grab him by the wrist.
Yeah.
Like, nope.
Yeah. Come back here. Yeah. So it was kind of like, you know, whatever. A kerfuffle in the kitchen.
A kitchen kerfuffle.
Yes. And then Esther runs off to her room. So Esther has made her way actually to the garage and putting her arm into a vice grip. Turning and turning the handle, she snaps her own fucking forearm in this vice grip.
Hardcore.
So, Yeah, so this is to help convince John that Kate broke her arm during the kerfuffle in the kitchen. John takes her to the hospital and puts her to bed in their room, in the marital bed. Telling Kate to sleep downstairs for the night, then closes the bedroom door on her. And I was just like, oh, this guy. So he thinks that Kate is like crazy. She's crazy. So like locks her out of her own bedroom, but then puts this child. He sleeps in the bedroom with this child with the door closed that you've known for 4 days or whatever, or a week. I don't know. Time is weird here.
It kind of seems like by this point she's been there a little while.
Yeah.
Like she's been there enough to do some damage.
Yeah, but I mean, she did some damage with that shrink in like an hour. Like, she's just manipulative. So anyway, it's weird, whatevs, but that happens. So cut to Kate buying 2 bottles of wine and heading home. So she fucked off. She's like, fuck this. Went to the wine shop. I love that they call it the wine shop.
Just off the wine shop.
There's no beer here. It's wine only in this wine shop. The finest of
wines
like
in this wine shop.
The finest $8 bottle of wine you'll find. So she goes to the wine shop, gets 2 bottles of amazing wine, heads back home. She pours a glass, cries while staring at it, and decides to pour the glass and the remainder of that bottle down the sink. I was like, yes, bitch.
Overcome your struggles.
Exactly. So the next day, yeah, I just felt so sad for her. I was like, oh, bitch, please don't do that on top of all the other stuff. And she didn't, so that's great. So the next day, she's dropping the kids at school and gets out of the car to help Daniel pick up the books that he's dropped from his bag. So it looks like someone has cut the bag open, like it's torn apart. Sabotage. Yeah. So exactly, sabotage, which is clearly Esther, because why would it be Max? So as Kate is out of the car helping Danny pick up his books, Esther opens the front door, lets the brake go, and watches the car careen down the fucking hill, narrowly missing other cars and people until it comes to a crashing stop into a snow, like, mound.
With little Max in the back the whole way.
Exactly. So little baby Max is in the back.
It's just like, I don't care, bye, like, bitch.
Yeah, she was just like, break off. So it's and meanwhile, like, Kate's bolting down after the car trying to chase it. This other guy tries to get it. He falls over. I know. I was hoping he was going to make it. I was just like, yeah, everybody's rooting for him. But he didn't. Yeah. He didn't get in the car. But luckily, Max was okay, because I was just like, fuck, this ends with this kid
just
getting
ended up,
in the car.
Crashing into some snow. Honestly, best possible
into
scenario.
Into some snow. Exactly. Yes. So later that day, Kate, John, and the shrink are talking about the hidden wine bottle and how Kate needs to stop blaming Esther for her mistakes, because they are convinced that Kate actually didn't put the brake on herself and this was all Kate's fault, that Max.
And Kate's like, I didn't drink any of the wine. I nearly did, but I didn't. And they're like,
You don't know how much I wanted to fucking drink the wine, but I didn't drink the wine. Yeah, it was all a big thing. So John tells her that she needs to go to rehab for a week or he's leaving and taking the kids with him. And I was like, this has escalated quickly.
I know. I was like,
yeah. This is not even a quick movie. This is a 2-hour fucking movie and it escalated this quickly. I was just like, okay. Meanwhile, Max is crying and watching from the top of the stairs as Esther whispers in her ear, I will shoot the mummy if you tell. And I was like, wow, poor little Max. A poor
She's
little nugget.
With a lot.
She's carrying a lot. Oh my God, yes. Look at us. So aligned in some things, not aligned in others. So while Esther is in the bathroom singing, Danny runs to Max's room to check on her. He finds out that Esther made the car, go down the fucking hill and murdered Sister Abigail and stashed the bad things in the treehouse. But as Danny is talking to Max, Esther has been listening the whole fucking time.
She's always
which we
listening.
Know is not a great thing. Always. Always on.
Always on.
So later that night, Kate gets up with a packed bag and tries to take Max, but Esther is sitting there in the dark and turns the light on, confronting Kate with her diary and her deepest, darkest secrets. It's very weird. Like, I can't think of the movie where it's just like there was a guy sitting in the dark. I feel like it's in lots of movies. There's a guy sitting in the dark and then someone comes home and they flick on the fucking line. They're like, hey, I've been waiting for you. All that kind of anyway, this is what happens. Yeah, I've been reading your diary. I've been waiting for you all day. But anyway, she had been reading her diary and found out her deepest, darkest secrets. So we find out that Kate passed out drunk and Max almost drowned in the pond lake body of water at the house, but John saved her. She says some really horrible things to Kate and then tells her that it's too late and she took her family for granted. Esther leaves and then we cut to the next day.
It's fine. We just,
I don't know.
We'll talk about this tomorrow.
I got here. I don't know how we got here, but this is where we're at. So, Danny takes a crowbar, I think, and his coat to head to the treehouse. Kate snoops through Esther's bedroom and finally finds the Bible again, hidden in a stuffed rabbit. They're both on the same mission, but oblivious of the other person doing the same fucking thing. Kate,
I did love the way that she found it in the stuffed rabbit. Like, she was looking for this Bible everywhere. And then was throwing just, like, the stuffed animals off the bed. And then one of them went thump on the ground. And she was like, ha-ha.
Got you. Yeah, it's pretty good. You think you would have felt the weight when you were throwing
it. Yeah, but she's doing it quite quickly, so.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. You're so glass half full. I love it.
Always, you know, in her favour.
She's that quick. I know. Whereas I'm like, you dumb dog, you should have felt the weight. So Kate Googles the library stamp or this, what, you know, the school, whatever, the stamp in the Bible. She Googles that and finds out that Esther is not from a Russian orphanage after she calls these people. This is not a Russian orphanage. She's actually from a mental hospital in Estonia.
Woo.
So not fucking great. Like, not great. How the fuck did she get here? How did this child get from Estonia to this house? I don't know. Stay fucking tuned. So, meanwhile, Danny has broken into the treehouse and is trying to find the evidence but only finds his pawn, and Esther has already been there. She starts throwing the evidence onto the treehouse floor, squirts fuel onto everything, and sets it on fire, blocking Danny from the exit. So she crawls out of the exit, locks the treehouse up again, and watches everything go up in flames from below. Because obviously this is a fucking treehouse, so it's made of wood, so it's very flammable in the trees.
Not the place you want to be when it's caught on fire.
That's really not. So Danny tries to escape out of a window and there's no way down. So these trees are fucking high, man. I wouldn't go into a treehouse that high. I'd be so scared. It's hot,
it's like,
but I don't like
heights. It's like a perfect treehouse.
It's perfection from below. Like, I'm not going up there. But also, like, that double floor with the hidey thing, it's very cool.
Great. Yeah. And look, when that dad built that treehouse, he knew what was going in that hidey hole.
Oh, yeah, he knew that there was some nudie magazines going in there. So Danny tries to escape, but there's no way down. He loses his grip and falls to the ground. So Kate finally sees the fucking flames through the window and runs to her kids as Esther approaches Danny with a rock to crush him like she did with the pigeon. So just before she can, Max runs up and pushes her away, saving her brother, which I'm like, yeah, and she looks mad too. She's so fucking
cute.
She's
ready to
fight
back.
She looks so mad. Yeah, she's like, fuck you. So it's very cute. Cut to the hospital and Danny's pretty injured but will be okay. So he fell pretty fucking far and pretty hard. Like, I thought he had died from the fall, to be honest. I was just like, oh no. And then she's like, I'm going to crush him with a rock. And I was like, okay, he's still kind of alive. So anyway, he's fine, but he's not coming out of hospital for a little bit. So Kate's explaining the insane asylum thing to John and he's just not believing her because, like,
I'm like, mate, she's got clear evidence.
Motherfucker, what else do you need to see? Like, what needs to happen?
How do you think that the treehouse caught on fire?
Exactly. It's snowing. Like, she's like, who do you think set it on fire? Like, it was either Danny or Esther. Who the fuck do you think sets it on fire?
He's
going to
burn his own treehouse down.
He's not going to burn his own nudie mags. Do you know how hard they are to get when you're 10? Fuck no. Anyway, so he's still not listening because he's fuckwit. Kate said that she'll leave the house tonight if that's what he wants, but Esther has to go too. So she's like, that's fine. She's just trying to protect her kids. So she's like, I'm cool. I won't go. But you, like, she also needs to not go. Esther hears the tail end of this and asks the grandmother for $1 for the vending machine. She heads off, but not for a snack. She's made her way to Danny's room. After a little while, Max heads off too, trying to find her parents to warn them to save Danny. Because she goes to the vending machines. Clearly, Esther's not there. No. So she runs to find her parents and she's like stressing the fuck out. But not before what's his name? Esther. Fuck me. Before Esther gets on top of Danny and suffocates him with a pillow. And I'm like, poor dead Danny. Oh, like,
he's had a wild
day. She pulls the
day.
Pillow off. Mate. Like, he's had a box cutter to the throat, threatened to cut his dick off. He fell from a treehouse. He got, like, nearly got burned alive, and now he's being smothered with a fucking pillow. So she pulls the pillow off, and his eyes are wide. Like, he's, like, flatlined. And I'm like, oh, my God, this poor fucking kid. This is horrific. All of the alarms start going off. Doctors run to the rescue and bring Danny back. I'm like, thank goodness. There has to be some sort of, like, this kid can't die by a smothering of a pillow in a fucking hospital. I was so sad for him. I was just like, fuck. Anyway, he's fine. But Kate knows what the fuck has happened. So she runs to find Esther and says, what did you do to him, you bitch? And slap this kid so fucking hard.
I did like this scene.
Oh, satisfying.
Because it really painted her in a picture of, like, that crazy woman beating up a child, but she's the only one who's seen the true Esther and is actually talking
about
it.
Who she is. Yeah, exactly. So it's pretty wild. Because if you saw that in the hospital, you'd be like, that bitch crazy. Yeah. Whoever just hit that kid, she's a nutter. Like, lock her up. So the, which is exactly what happens. So, yeah. So Audley's grab her, they sedate her, and Kate is hospitalized. Because let's face it, a woman slapping the shit out of a kid and accusing her of murder.
It's
going to lead to this. It's a lot. So, yeah. So John takes Max and Esther back home, tucks Max in as Esther enters the room, leans over to hug her and steals her fucking hearing aid. So this kid sucks. Esther can fuck off. Like, I just can't with her. So John leaves the room, goes downstairs to down that bottle of wine and smoke a heap of cigarettes. And I mean, I know they've been through it, but the smell of red wine and cigarettes is revolting and it's all I can focus on. I'm like, that smell in that house would be disgusting. Red wine and cigarette mix. I hate it.
I don't think I've ever smelt the two together.
Really? Okay, I think I partied a bit. And I was, that was, it's all I
just love red wine.
It just reminds me of red wine on its own, fine. Cigarettes, even I can kind of deal with them on their own together. Horrific. Anyway, that's a me thing. So meanwhile, Esther is upstairs trying on sexy dresses of Kate's and getting her so on. She's getting very crafty to make them fit her, obviously, because she's fucking nine or whatever. She finally comes downstairs carrying a knife, wearing a sexy dress, red lips, heavy black eyeliner, like heavy.
Oh, yeah, she's too heavy-handed.
Heavy, yeah, and carrying a cheese platter, which is... That's
a
what
nice
the knife's
touch.
For. I thought she was going to, like, stab John with her sexy dress on, but she's, like, carrying cheese. So John asks her what she's doing. She tells him that she loves him, kisses him on the cheek multiple times, and then I think she whispers in his ear.
Yeah. And he's, like, quite drunk at this stage, and he's just like, ugh.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, then, yeah.
He's like drunk and emotional and, you know, when you're in that messed up frame of mind and then this happening, it's just there's so much going on that... He's like,
see, this is what made me annoyed about it, because I'm just like, okay, motherfucker, your son almost died how many times today? Cool. Max is upstairs. Esther, your wife's been hospitalized because she lost it, and you're like, you know what the best thing for me to do is? Fuck myself up beyond.
He's having a breakdown.
Beyond comprehension. I get it, but you have two babies in the house. You don't have the luxury of having a fucking breakdown when you have a deaf child in your house alone. With someone who your wife's like, be careful, this bitch is from an insane asylum.
Yeah, but he also
asylum.
Thinks his
he's
wife
like,
has just gone crazy.
No, no, no. I know. It's a lot. I get it, but I just kind of hate him.
Oh, yeah.
His
character
anyway,
sucks the entire time.
Sucks. He's not the best, He's not the worst, but he's not the best. So John stops her. She cries and pleads that he said that he loved her, but of course not like that because she's a child and that's fucked up.
And he's very confused at this stage. Like,
yeah. Because he's blind. Like, he's literally finished that bottle of red wine. But then he starts crying and blah, 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 blah. She strokes his hair, says all the things that he wants to hear because he's an emotional dude. And I'm pretty sure it gets too touching, but I can't be sure on this one. Either way, it gets super fucking awkward and he jumps up off the couch, finally.
Because it's like
so
her touching
to
him.
Yeah.
And then he...
He doesn't touch her.
Yeah, and then it's just like... No. He basically starts, like, crying.
Yeah, he just sobs. Yeah. Like, he is crying. He's just sobbing about everything. And I'm like, you can't sob to a nine-year-old girl, man. Like, get it together. Call a friend. Like, I don't fucking know. Call your mother. Like, isn't she always around? Like, what are you... Anyway. So, whatever. So he gets up, jumps on the couch, tells her to stop, and that they're calling the sisters tomorrow to sort this out. Because Liz's like, what the fuck is going on? He's also fucking blind drunk. So, cut to Kate in hospital, and her phone is ringing. It's a guy that knows the real Esther. So, Esther has a rare disorder that makes her look like a child. When, in fact, she's a 33-year-old woman.
Ta-da!
33? 33, yes. She's been passing herself off as a child for most of her life and has killed 7 people that they know of. Extremely dangerous. Has scars on her neck and wrist from the straitjacket that they had to keep her in, and she was going ballistic in it, as we've seen multiple times. But trying to do that in a straitjacket, she's going to harm herself, which explains the fucking pilgrim ribbons. She killed the last family that adopted her as she was obsessed with the husband, and when he refused her advances, she killed him. Then burnt the fucking house down. So as Kate runs to rescue her family, we see Esther's transformation from Esther into Nina, who she really is.
Can I just say as well, I also love that her little Bible was just filled with all the photos of the men
Of dudes?
Who, like, yeah. whose families she's effed up.
Yeah. It's amazing. So good. Because, yeah, when they open the Bible, that's right, there's like lots of photos of dudes, of older men in there. Mm. It's not like there's Jonathan Taylor Thomas in there. There's none of this. There's none of that. Wait, are you too old? You're too young for Jonathan Taylor. Fuck me. Oh, my God. It's JTT. And he, like, you need to Google it. Okay, so this was my grade 8, maybe? So my sister had her room covered in these fucking posters. Oh, my God. I Google. Yeah, it's Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Okay, who would you know? A Justin Timberlake, okay? It's like, no, fuck.
Who's this guy?
Oh, my God. Okay, I'm just fucking age myself again. This is a podcast where I just fucking reveal my age to you every fucking time. And apparently my foul mouth.
Don't know
him. Okay, so he was on a popular TV show and he was very cute and all of the girls loved him. And he was on all of the magazines, the TV hits that you'd get the lyrics of the songs on the back of the fucking magazine. It was very good. It was the time. Anyway, normally a kid this age would have like their crushes. Harry Styles. This would be the equivalent. Kind of, okay, that's not the... Whatever, you get it. You get where I'm going. So normally this kid would have...
I have a crush on Harry Styles.
Yeah, Harry Styles now. I don't know what happened. I was not into it. Stunning. Now I'm into it. Anyway. Yeah, I think it was that Venice outfit. It was very good. Anyway. So normally you would have cute boys from like TV and her magazines, but she has older gentlemen torn from family photos in there. Mm-hmm. Fucking weird. So anyway, where was I up to? Oh, she's revealed
transformation
herself.
Time.
The reveal. Yes. So she takes her fake teeth out. So this is why she didn't want to go to the dentist.
Oh, girl, this age.
They
is
are.
Her.
They are fucked up. So they're like hideous and sharp and black and rotted and they are fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah, disgusting. So she takes her ribbons off. We see the scars are in her wrists and her neck. Wipes all of the makeup off of her face and she looks so much older just by doing this. But also I think nobody looks hot when they're smushing like
no,
four layers
like
of black
makeup,
eye makeup down your face.
Sort of, it wasn't a full skincare cleansing routine.
No,
No.
It wasn't.
Yeah. It's like when you've got a wet wipe. You've got no other choice but to use that to take
your
makeup
and you
off.
And you just smoosh it into
just
your face.
Pushing it from your
into
eyes
your skin.
To your cheeks.
Yeah, she pretty much just rubs her face down, which always looks like dramatic as fuck. Especially when she has so much eye makeup on. So she does that and unbinds her body. So she's been strapping down her breasts and stuff the whole time. So this is why she likes the bathroom locked when she has a bath and blah, blah, blah. So it's a lot. So she looks fucked up. So this is where I had to keep reminding myself that she was 10, this girl playing this character. And I was just like, I would legit think she was a 33-year-old woman playing a fucking 9-year-old.
Yeah, never seen it the other way so well. Life.
Right? I was
like
this
usually
is
usually it's like a 30-year-old
wild.
Playing like a high school character.
Yeah,
not a
totally.
10-year-old
That's
being
Hills.
A 33-year-old
no,
character.
No, a 33-year-old. But she's so good that I had to keep reminding I'm like, this is a child playing this from these scenes out. Well, I was a child before also. It's the same fucking person. But you know what I mean? Like, she's not still a child. It's crazy. So, yeah. Anyway, whatever. So, John has gone to find Esther to see if she's okay, but instead discovers the blue light paintings on the walls of her room. So, we saw a little snippet earlier with the, like, creepy house and stuff. But
full scale.
This one. So, full scale. So we see the full room. There's knives in the heads of people. There's cutthroats. There's heads on fire. There's like lots of, there's crossed out eyes, obviously, because that's a classic. It's a lot. Then also behind all these fucking murdery ones, John starts pulling some of the posters down and there's large sexy portraits of John and Esther mid-coitus. It is fucking fucked.
Yeah,
I was not
I
expecting
was like,
this.
Oh. Okay, yeah, I'm uncomfortable again. Here we go again.
It was so dumb. It was dumb. And also, why'd you make yourself so much taller, girl? Like, this is not a self-portrait.
Because even that, I was like, wait, is that the wife? Or is this meant to be her? Or like,
No, that's supposed to be her. Yeah, it's supposed to be her. But, it's pretty fucked. So I was obviously expecting the knives in the heads and the burning and all that kind of stuff. But this, it was just
reveal
sexy
on reveal.
Portraits. Yeah, so many reveals. So before John can really grasp what the fuck he's seeing, because remember he's blind still.
Yes.
The phone rings. It's Kate racing home and trying to reach her family. Just as John reaches for the phone, the power cuts and the house is shrouded in darkness. He tries to fix the fuses, but they've been destroyed. Because, you know.
That's what they do. This is not her first radio.
Exactly. And if you can turn the power out, you're not going to just, like, switch off, because then people can go switch on. Like, it's just, you know. So Kate finally calls 911, because I don't know why she didn't do it earlier, but anyway. But I'm not sure they're going to get there in time. As John wanders the house in darkness, he feels a sharp pain in his back. Esther has plunged a knife deep into his lower back. As he hits the floor, she takes this knife, sits on his chest, and stabs him over and over and over again until he's dead. So, as she stabs him for the final time, she looks up and sees Max standing at the top of the stairs, watching all of this unfold. She runs after Max just before Kate drives the family car right into the fucking house. So, she's been driving crazy. It's crazy. There's snow on the ground. She's stressing out. She's sliding all over the joint. And then she just, like, slams the car into the house. So, she finds her husband dead on the floor, cries. Obviously, that's a fair response. And then remembers her daughter. She grabs a torch and goes on the hunt, thinking she has found Esther behind a shower curtain, but finds nothing. That is, until Esther shoots Kate through the fucking shower window, like the bathroom window. I don't know how, it's super frosty. But I was waiting for a jump scare in this moment, and I thought it was going to be like the behind the curtain or behind Kate when she turns around. I was not expecting like a gunshot through the window. So it was pretty
good. Yeah, because you kind of forgot about the gun.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, because you're like, whatever.
Long time ago in the movie.
So Kate is trying to wrap her gunshot wound without alerting Esther to her location, and Max is still wandering the house. Remember, Max doesn't have her hearing aids either, so she's...
dark, you know, and silent. Yeah.
And scary. So Kate has crawled out onto the roof through an open window to hide from Esther, but Esther spots the open window and locks it up, so Kate actually can't get back inside. We then see that Max is trying to hide in the greenhouse, but has knocked over a fucking terracotta pot, and those things are loud when they break. So they alert Esther to her location, obviously. Kate has also heard this and lays on the glass roof, signing to Max to stay hidden. But Esther is on the hunt. She shoots at Kate through the glass roof.
I did love as well in the scene how it kind of went a little bit between Max's like silent world and then back into reality.
It was I like how they did that throughout the whole movie, how when they removed her hearing aids.
Yeah, but this is probably more relevant, like more noticeable.
Yeah,
every other
made
time
more
it was
sense.
Like, bedtime.
Whatever. Yeah. No, this was good. I liked it. I do like that, I don't know, because it was scary for that little baby. I think I just liked her so much. I was
she's
just so
very
scared of her the
character.
Whole fucking movie. Right? She's so fucking cute. But I just felt bad for her. So anyway, yeah, I do like that though, that they cut all sound when you're seeing it from like Max's point of view. It was very cool. So her mum is signing. She climbs on a glass ceiling, not super safe, but she's trying to protect her kid from this murderous bitch. Where am I up to? Oh yeah, Esther's hunting. She shoots Kate through the glass ceiling, which is not great also. Loses integrity of the build, but that's fine. Max tries to run. Esther points the gun at Max, and Kate hurls herself through the glass ceiling on top of Esther, knocking her the fuck out to protect her baby, as you would. Kate carries Max away from the house as we hear the sounds of the police sirens because Esther has been, you know, knocked out, in theory. Whatever. So cops have entered the house and we see that Esther is gone. So we cut back to Kate and Max just walking through the snow. She's trying to run, but it's pretty hard. And then we see Esther running toward Kate and Max with a knife as Kate tries to wrestle with the gun to shoot her. They wrestle, fall into the frozen pond, lake body of water, and Max tries to help by shooting the gun at Esther. She instead hits the ice and gets thrown all the way back into the snow because she's a tiny baby shooting a gun. But the ice cracks open, causing both women to fall into the water. So Esther stabs Kate under the water, but Kate hits her in the face, causing her to sink to the bottom. As Kate is crawling up out of the hole in the ice, Esther pops back up and pleads with her mummy to help. She tries to get out a few times, and I think Esther keeps pulling her back in. It's all very stressful. And getting the stabbed underwater thing is also stressful. Also, that water would be so fucking cold, you'd just die under there. Like, hypothermia is a thing, guys. So she tries to crawl out of the ice. Esther pops back up, pleads with her mummy to help. Kate yells, "I'm not your fucking mummy," and kicks her so hard in the face that it snaps her neck in a very messed up angle, killing Esther and sending her back into the darkness of water. Kate picks up Max, walks towards the red and blue flashing lights of safety, and this is where we end The Orphan. That's it.
That's it.
Of the movie. Thoughts, feelings.
Ah!
comments.
So, theoretically, I feel like this storyline should be a really good storyline and that I would really enjoy it. But honestly, I was just quite bored throughout a lot of this movie. Like, I feel like there was a lot of... A bunch of stuff would happen, and then not really a lot of stuff would happen, and then a couple of things would happen, and then not a lot of stuff would happen. I didn't really like...
It's a long fucking movie for a lot happening
in some sections. Mm. But then in others, there was heaps of stuff going on. I like the ending. Yeah. The ending was great. I like the fact that, you know, she went to the effort of killing the sister, as in the orphanage sister.
I was just like, wait, what? I was like, the Abigail, I didn't watch past the credits.
That whole piece, and I like the way that they built up Esther's character and the big reveal at the end. But I don't know, there's just something missing for me in it. Yeah. Like, I kept, by the time the movie was over, I was like, oh, thank goodness. Like,
yeah.
I really, I'm done. But I did like all the painting stuff that was in her room.
Yeah, that was cool.
Except for the weird sexy figures. But I was uncomfortable for a decent chunk of this movie. And not because of any of the gore or death. It's because of the weird sexual scenes. What do you reckon? Because
there wasn't a lot of gore and death in it. It was a little bit, but not much. I thought it was okay. I thought the idea of it, and because I haven't watched it in a gabillion years, so I remembered it being a bit better. But I knew what the...
I remembered it being better too.
Yeah, right? But I don't know if, like, sometimes this happens, I think, when we watch them for the podcast, because I'm, like, ready to tear everything apart. So I don't know I'm like, okay, strap in, let's see how this actually is. Whereas before, like, generally, I'm kind of, like, here for a good time. But this one, I was a bit like, oh, my God, it's 2 hours. When are things happening? Mm. Like, it was just, like, a lot of sad, like... I don't know. Because it started pretty fucking hectic. I was just like, okay, cool. So, fuck, we're going to see a lot of blood and it's going to be a whole lot, like, intense. No, it was nothing for a long while after that. And mostly just uncomfortable scenes with the dad, which I don't enjoy. It's not fun for me to watch. But I do like the painting scene. But, you know, I love that shit. I'm like, oh, fucking cool. That black light stuff. Fucking love that. But also, where's she getting the black light paint from?
Oh, yeah. I don't know where that came from.
You know what I mean? Well, it comes with her in a shitty little suitcase and her ribbons. Like, there's lots of things that are like, okay, blacklight paint isn't that fucking, like, available all the time.
Especially that much of it.
So much. Like, the whole room was splattered in it. So I was just like, ugh. So I do like the tie-in with the credit opening and then the blacklight paintings to, like, at the end. But it's quite a fucking leap from the opening credits to where we actually see the blacklight paint in, like, action. Mm. So... seems like a weird thing to do. I wanted it to be a bigger part of it if it was going to be the credits. But anyway. I don't know. I was just a little bit bored. And then I had to watch it a second time to, like, write it. And then I was just a bit like, wow. And then I wouldn't even stop and rewind it. Because, like, I was like, was she 33? I couldn't be bothered rewinding to see if she was 33 or 36.
She was older than 10.
She's, like, 30-something. Like, whatever. It was fine. But there is the prequel. Now, would you go and see that? Because it's a prequel. Because I thought it was going to be a sequel. And I was like, how the fuck did they do a sequel? Her next snap.
Yeah, so when I was thinking about this, I was like, well, better be a prequel. Because she's got a heck of a backstory. Like, she's killed all these people and, like, messed with a bunch of families. So hopefully that will be more interesting. Because there's a lot to dig through with, you know, she was in an insane asylum. Well, how did she escape that? And then how did she get from over there to over here? And, like, there's so many missing pieces that would be good to fill in. And that should be entertaining.
Have you seen the trailer for it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because I don't think they do the orphanage thing. It's like when she gets adopted by the other.
Yeah, like if it's just going to be one family.
Same thing.
Yeah, then I'll still watch it. But.
So that's what it looks like to me. I won't go see it at the cinema, I don't think. I'm happy to wait for that one. I don't think it's a like must see, to be honest. But yeah, I don't know. It could be fine. I don't know. I just didn't have fun with this one. I was like, it's 2 hours, man. 2 hours. So it'd be fucking good. Yeah. And then I was like, this could have been 90 minutes. Yeah. Easily.
Could have been an hour 10.
Easily. It really could have been. Okay, cool. All right, so best death for you?
Esther, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Why do I never think of them as the deaths? I always think of, like, the...
Who was your best death? There was only one other death. No, two other deaths.
I know. It was two other deaths. Well, I was just like, I didn't expect the dad to die, to be honest. So that was a bit unexpected to me.
Oh, okay. I thought once he rejected her, I was like, oh, he's dead.
Yeah, well, I thought if she was going to die, families. They would all die. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I just wasn't blown away by any of them. But her neck snapping actually was pretty good. I changed mine to yours. Yeah. Okay, so best line.
So I have two. My number one is at the end where she's like, I'm not your effing mummy. But I also really enjoyed when I was watching this with Steve, and Steve just got up at part of the movie and was basically like, I'm over this. And then he goes, oh, she's going to get effed up. The dad really sucks, hey? And then just walked off. And I was like, well, there's my best line, because there's not really too much going on in terms of lines in this movie anyway.
There's not. There's not a lot of fun ones.
He was correct. Yours?
Mine was Esther with the box cutter to old mate's neck and said, if I find out that you're lying, I'll cut your hairless little prick off before you even figure out what it's for. And I was like, oh, that's descriptive. And then also, after he pees, she just says, you pissed yourself, and then walks away.
Power move.
I was just like, I mean, he did. So, correct. Give me a rating.
Rating is 1.5 out of 5 reasons why I don't want kids.
They're scary.
There we have it. I don't want to accidentally end up with a 33-year-old posing as a 9-year-old.
That would be weird if you gave birth to them. You
what was your rating?
Yes. Mine's 1.5 out of 5 suspicious ribbon accessories.
Yeah. Also, your ribbons are not going to
cover. If your kid comes with accessories...
They're not going to stay in the one place. Scarring.
Absolutely not. No. 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 Accessories don't do that. But anyway.
So very meh. For this bitch. Very meh.
I mean, it's fine. Everyone carries on about this. So I picked it because there's been so... Everyone's like pumped about this new movie, and then they're talking about how it's such an underrated movie, Orphan. I was like, okay, fuck. I think I remembered enjoying it when I saw it a million years ago. So... Like, maybe I just need to stop being a jerk about it. And then I rewatched it. I was like, who the fuck are these people talking about?
I think it's just because it's like a bit of a different storyline. Like, you know, we haven't seen that before.
Yeah, because of the twist. Yeah, but I don't think that makes up for, like, fucking 2 hours.
No, I agree. It was far too long.
Right? Maybe if it was 90 minutes, I wouldn't have been a bit like, oh, who knows? Who fucking knows? Because it's not. It's 2 hours. So if you have 2 hours to spare and you're like, meh, I feel meh, I want to watch a meh movie, this is one for you.
Go ahead. Pop you want on. Something for the background.
Yeah. Doing your ironing and need something to put it on the background? This is one for you. Okay, cool. That's it.
The end.
Bye.